Good morning. Today's scripture is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 to 3 and 8 to 16. People commended for their faith. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for, being convinced of what we do not see. For by it, the people of old received God's commendation. By faith, we understand that the worlds were set in order at God's command, so that the visible has its origin in the invisible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, and he went out without understanding where he was going. By faith, he lived as a foreigner in the promised land, as though it were a foreign country, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, who were fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with firm foundations, whose architect and builder was God. By faith, even though Sarah herself was barren and he was too old, he received the ability to procreate, because he regarded the one who had given the promise to be trustworthy. So, in fact, children were fathered by one man, and this one as good as dead, like the number of stars in the sky and like the innumerable grains of sand on the seashore. These all died in faith without receiving the things promised, but they saw them in the distance and welcomed them and acknowledged that they were strangers and foreigners on this earth. For those who speak in such a way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. In fact, if they had been thinking of the land they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they aspire to a better land, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but I had a friend of mine that went to the University of Richmond. That's our chapel there, I believe. It's been a while now. that called me a few years ago and said, "Hey, one of our alums is got something on YouTube, and I think you might like to see it." So I'd like him to introduce himself to you. Meet Stuart Smith. Stuart Smith, an average guy, average life story, especially if you were taken to church by your parents and didn't have much of a choice, right? How many of us could say that, right? Average, probably in the amount of struggles. He's not a pro football player. He's not the hottest country rock singer or anything like that. He's not a GQ model. He's just a person who got on and made a video. I'm not sure if it was that poor of a quality a few years ago, but made a video of what he's been doing and how he's found his faith. A faith that was instilled by his parents, and yet he had to come and find was his, in what way was his. Stuart says himself that he's going to be the imperfect person. Stuart seems to be that imperfect person, that is confident now in his faith. In this way, he seems to be the person that we all can relate to, I hope, because he's putting himself out there for us today as a witness, not years ago, centuries ago, millennia ago, like Abraham and the others that we will hear about in the Bible. But this is what we talk about today, the imperfect, unqualified person that God uses every day. Amen?
Amen.
Have you ever thought about it much? How many of you grew up thinking, oh, well, those were people back then and we couldn't possibly be as good as them today, right? There are heroes, but we don't see them as the average person. Until you dig a little deeper and see the context that they lived and what they did also in their lives. Let's start with Moses. I think everybody's heard of Moses, right? Moses, anger issues, abandonment issues probably. And we can assume that he had a speech impediment of some sort, as he kept saying that he could not speak for God, and he meant literally speak for God, even though he was hearing God. Or King David, probably the most revered Jewish king of all history, presumed author of many of our Psalms. Well, the Psalms show that he wasn't just a warrior like you see on the screen in Gladiator if you go to a movie, who has no fear of anyone. He had fears, and that's shown in the Psalms. But he trusted in God to save him from his enemies. David was also an imperfect, lustful person. Sending as a king his person that he wished to marry, the wife that he wished to have, the spouse at the time, to war in the front lines, knowing that he probably wouldn't make it, and he didn't, and then marrying that woman. And then, as we're going to talk about in a little bit, Rahab, a woman of many imperfections, but who God used for the good, who had faith. Every person in the Bible that God used for God's work was some normal person. They didn't start out to be any celebrity. They all had imperfections. But faith made a difference in their world, and faith can make a difference in our world. Amen? Amen. Now, the difference with Stuart Smith, and why I show this little video, even though this may be the last time I show it, because, boy, has the quality gotten less and less. But Stuart's here, living with us, in our context, with the same life experiences, the same expectations and dreams. He is one of us. Amen? Amen? He can bond with us as a fellow imperfect, uncelebrated, unqualified follower of Christ in the way that the characters of the Bible may not seem to you and I. He is now having this coffee club. And you may have noticed it's in the university. It's not in the church. It's not in part of a church thing. It's having coffee with people that might want to talk about God, about their life, about what's happening every day, and about how to have faith. Because each one of us needs to hear how we can grow in faith. And he has a key component by being one that can say, I leaned on my faith, and this is what happened. Faith, that component that he lives out. Faith, that ever elusive amount of trust in someone other than ourselves, which takes the control out of us in our hands for the most part. But the thing that we need to grow, and why we come to church each week, right? If we don't come to church to grow, what do we come for? Hebrews is trying to help us develop what I would say is a growing faith and having a greater life with God. So the question is, where do we go from here? However we are, whoever we are right now, as God's child, loved by God, how do we grow on our own? Dr. Luke Timothy Johnson, a renowned theologian of the New Testament, says the book of Hebrews is a key book. It has the roll call of heroes of faith, says Johnson. Colin, will you put the words of our scripture back up again? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is by another translation, and maybe one that you memorized as a child, other than the New English Translation. Many scholars refer to Hebrews as the hardest book in the New Testament to read. It's Pauline in nature, but was written in the late first century. It has exceedingly high Greek standards here, or Greek format. It's completely packed with a lot of Old Testament quotes and allusions that if you're not a studious person, you might not keep in mind. But it was formatted so it could be read to Jewish Christians. Why is that important? Read to Jewish Christians so that they, knowing the Old Testament, would get those allusions and then live it out. So it's a little harder for us today, perhaps. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders, or the ancients, obtained a good report, meaning they received divine approval. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The world was made out of things that we could not see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, says Hebrews, and substance is a key word. It's evidence or proof of itself. This is a hard statement for most of us, right? How many of you want proof of everything? Now, come on, not one of you put your hands up. I am not believing this one at all. Come on. I want proof of almost everything, right? If you say you love me, I want proof of it, Douglas Day. if you say that you're going to go and do something today, I want proof that you're going to do that, right? I want accountability. We're all that way, amen? All right. Let's not pretend we're not something, right? Well, I'm brought back to a story that I want to share with you. I may have shared it like the very first year that I was here, but I'm not sure. It's that long ago that I was telling it. I had a preschool that I would do lessons with, and one day I wanted to teach the kids that they could trust that Jesus was with us right now, even though they couldn't see Jesus, right? Well, now what do kids want? Proof, right? At least they're honest about it. They would say yes, right? They wanted proof. So we started out, and I took a balloon, and I said to them, what do you need to live? What's an element or what's a thing? I forgot that I was dealing with kids here, and I used language I shouldn't have. But with you, I can use it. What element or what thing in the universe is there that you must have to be able to live? Oxygen or air, right? They don't know anything about oxygen. Air was getting as far as I could get, right? I said, okay, how do we make sure that we can know that oxygen's out there or air's out there? How can you see the air? No. What do we fill a balloon with? Air. Yes, even five-year-olds know that, right? I didn't believe that. I haven't blown one of these up in a long time. Okay, that's about as much as I'm going to get. What's in the balloon, I said to the kids? Air, right? So you can see it, can't you? Because what happened? It expanded the balloon, right? And who told you about air? Well, if you're five-year-olds, guess who told them? Maybe me. How about their parents? They got at least to that point. Air. We need it to live. Now, I did one other thing, too. And I have to tell you, they always amaze me. Boys will say one thing and girls will say another. I said, do you need air to live? And can you live without it? Can you keep going and breathing without it? And some of the boys said yes. So I said, all right, take the air into your lungs. Try it out. Now, some of them were breathing through their mouth and just went like that, or breathing through their nose and all that. But by the end, they got the idea that they'd have to have it, right? Well, just like Jesus, we have to have Jesus, and we have to have faith, and we have to have air. And we may not see Jesus, but we know through Bible stories that Jesus is with us. And we may not see Jesus, but we can feel Jesus, and we can have faith, and things can happen because of our faith. Amen? Because just like the air, Jesus is there. We just don't know about it the same way. We don't have the same proof. You and I are not very different from these little kids in wanting proof. We question things that we cannot see just as much. For instance, how many of you have questioned if there was a God really in existence? How many of you questioned if God was in work in our lives, especially when we had suffering times, right? How many of you have questioned your faith? Well, friends, I have a secret for you. Faith and the growing of faith is somewhat circular. We have to start out with knowing that it's there, even if we can't see it, and then testing it. Having a little mustard seed faith, as Jesus would say, and then it growing. Faith is circular. Verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's not just blind faith. It isn't just a list of hopes that we wish and or that we feel when we say we have faith. Faith is proof unto itself that it exists once you try it out and once you see others having faith. So even before you have that mustard seed of faith, you can hear about Abraham, like Jim said, and others. Verse 2 tells us, "For by the elders obtained a good report." This tells us that a little amount of faith can begin our journey, and all we have to look for is the faith that our elders had. Whether they actually be your elders and my elders, parents, grandparents, things like that, that also gives us faith, right? When they had faith and they share those stories with us. But the faith of the elders in the Bible too. For time's sake, I'm not going to read more, but if you go through chapter 11 of Hebrews, there's a whole list of people that Hebrews uses to demonstrate faith. They all were people who relied on their faith and then received God's blessings because of their faith, just like Moses and David and Rahab. You see, it isn't that God calls us upon each of ourselves to have blind faith. People that don't believe at all will say, "Oh, well, you just have blind faith." No, we don't have blind faith. We have faith that is circular, faith that is a mustard size, faith that has been with others that they've witnessed to us that then help us grow. Dr. Johnson has in his book the story of Rahab, and it's a special story. You see, even Rahab, who was a prostitute that arguably hid foreign spies in her home, simply so she could gain safety for her family and earn money, because she expected these spies were going back to their land, and as they did, then come back with armies and wage war. But she said that she knew God, and God gave her the benefit that when she said that their God was the true God, and that she believed in the true God, one God, God said, "I will believe you." Rahab, in others' eyes, could have been just saving her own family and her own neck, yet God saw her as having faith. This prostitute that was not part of the chosen people, that it doesn't say that she gave up her nightly routines, that she repented in any way, was rewarded by the faith that she had in God. And my friends, that should give all of us hope, right? The type of faith that says no matter who we are, what faults we have, even if we haven't repented of everything yet, we don't have to worry if we have faith in God. If we act in faith, God will hear us and answer us. God will continue to raise us up to be more righteous, and each time in this circle, we will have more faith. Do you remember having a spirograph when you were a kid? Remember how the circle got bigger and bigger? The truth is, I can't imagine how much harder and sadder my life would be without having faith and trying to grow it with God. I know I've received everything that my prayers have asked for, but neither have I been dropped from God's palm. Whenever I was acting in faith, things came through. For God's way and God's goodness. My life is surprisingly better when I trust in God and give God control. And if you know me, you know I like control. If it's one of the things that is a negative on my thing, yes, I'm a control freak. I want proof, just like you. I want evidence, just like you. But you know what? I'm better off when I try to live in the greater good with God's eyes and with God's alone. I'm better off when I trust in God and have faith in God. And each time that I have a little faith, it grows more. Each time that I hear witnesses like Stuart Smith, who's that average life guy in an average setting with an average faith, but his faith has allowed him to hear and respond to something that God called him to. Nothing earth-shattering. A coffee place, right? But something that God called him to so that others could talk with him, that others could grow, that others could be with God in a better way. Now, isn't that the greater life that we all want to have? The kids are smarter than us at times. The kids are smarter than us because they haven't learned some bad lessons in life. They haven't had as many sad lessons in life. And they're willing to go on faith. Let us remember the child within us. Not because we have to have blind faith, but because the child allows us to just see that air in the balloon and then say, I'll try this faith thing out. Amen? Amen. Shall we pray? Gracious God, let us have the child's faith, a mustard seed size. And even when we don't have it, let us come back to the Bible or to others that are living today and have those witnesses tell us about their faith that gives us that little bit of grain of a faith so that we can grow with you. Allow us to trust you and let control be with you. For you always are looking out for the best of us when we do. We thank you that we don't even need to know all that we've done that's wrong for you to be with us and to love us and to guide us. May you guide us and grow us into more righteous people this day and forever. In Christ's name, amen.